found it, he will.
It's the Skinny on Sports Podcast with Aaron Cowan.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Thursday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Talk a little NBA playoffs. Man, the Sixers erased a big deficit last night to beat the Heat, now face the Knicks. Was that Trae Young's last game in Atlanta? I've got to listen. This isn't probably good for the Thunder, but I've got a great landing spot for Trae Young that I think would accentuate his positives and his negatives could be negated. Great landing spot for Trae Young, but a bad landing spot for the Oklahoma City Thunder for Trae Young. Also, injuries already making a difference, even in just the play-in. Zion out for Friday. And now Jimmy Butler. What a tough dude Jimmy Butler is. He had a right MCL injury in the first quarter last night, played the rest of the game, but now he's going to be out. Expected to miss several weeks as well. So the Heat Bulls on Friday night for the right to play the Celtics, and then you've got the Pels and the Kings for the right to play the Thunder. That's where the play-in is, but really interesting that Trae Young did last night. I don't think there's any – for me, I think that's it in Atlanta, and he'll be somewhere else. You know what starts a week from tonight?
The NFL draft.
The NFL draft. You know where it's going to be held?
No.
Detroit.
Oh, okay.
Meh.
I mean, it's not Nashville.
No, well, it's not.
It's not
anywhere.
New York. It's not Radio City Music Hall.
It is Detroit.
It's Detroit.
Yeah, tough break there. Anyway, Detroit will host the draft. Okay, so here's a question. Man, there's a lot of smoke about J.J. McCarthy. Teams wanting to trade up after that top three. The four spot with Arizona. Arizona feels like they're in an awesome position with paying Kyler Murray, committing to him as their quarterback apparently. They kind of hold the cards for a lot of this after the top three. So how many quarterbacks will be picked in the first five, in the first round? And my question to you, Jared, is take Caleb Williams out. You can't pick him. Of the rest of the quarterbacks in this draft, who would you take? Dallas Cowboys at 24, what will they do? Will Oklahoma's streak, they've had at least four players drafted in 16 consecutive drafts. That's far and away number one in the country. Will that streak end in this draft? How did we get here with the draft? I mean, I'm young enough to remember. Wasn't that long ago where the draft was the draft, but it wasn't like it is now. I mean, the buzz that it creates is damn near as big as the season. And then also, give me the best fit for a certain player at a certain team in the first round. That's what we're looking for with the draft. Then a lot of high school stuff. Baseball, slow pitch, softball districts have started. Heck, some of them are done. in slow pitch softball, a bunch of them go today, started yesterday in baseball. There's all kinds of playoff baseball and softball going on in the smaller schools and smaller classes. Big Elks completed a sweep of Weatherford yesterday. That's now three straight district titles and three straight undefeated district seasons for Jay and the boys and the brown and white. Now they will host regionals next week. Give you an idea of today is we'll figure out part of the puzzle piece as far as who's coming, and I also know how that's going to work with just three teams in that regional instead of four, because District 2 didn't have eight teams participating, so they can't send an eighth place team out here because there isn't one that exists. So how will that work with just three teams in that regional? I will tell you about that and some results from yesterday as well. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, stay in touch with the show a couple of ways. You can log on to KADSAM.com, or you can download the app. The app's got it all. It's got the radio. It's got the Penny News. Brand new edition of the Penny News hit the website a couple of nights ago at midnight. Now go pick up a free copy of the Penny News. It's out all over the place right now. Big Elk and Paragon TV. Big Elk TV be back here next week. Forgot to bring the computer again. Dadgummit. I'll get it at lunch. And then also Skinny on Sports Podcast. If you missed the show entirely, go back and check that out. Yesterday, of course, the newly minted head basketball coach of Big Elk basketball, Tyler Fole, was with us. So you can hear what he had to say about kind of where he came from, what got him into coaching, his excitement about the program, how to change it, how to get the culture moving forward, how he wants it, and that kind of thing. So it was really good stuff, I thought, from him yesterday morning. How are you today, Jared?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, just wonderful. I mean, it's always a great day to be in the brown and white on the baseball field. Third straight district title. You know, anytime you can beat one of your rivals the way that they did yesterday, it's always a fun day.
Yeah.
And so congrats to J-Mac and those guys. I mean, they clinched the district on Tuesday with that 4-0 win, but then just went ahead and proved a point, I think, yesterday with a 14-1 victory.
That's a statement win, because I think a lot of people think of people outside of Elk City think it's just it's one dominant pitcher and that's it. And that's not the case. This is a well-rounded team, clearly.
It seems like, I'll tell you who has been missing for a lot of the year with an ankle injury coming off of basketball, is Colin Church. Mm. He's been back in the lineup for a couple of weeks, and he is just absolutely mashing the baseball. Just in the two games against Weatherford, he was 3-for-3 on Tuesday with a couple of doubles and knocked in a couple of runs. Yesterday, I think 3-for-4, knocked in three, including a solo home run that got things started. Elk scored 5 in the second and then 9 in the fifth to pull away and just blow away the Weatherford Eagles. And it hurts Weatherford, because not being able to get one of those two games from the Elks means Weatherford now has to travel, as Bishop McGinnis is the second-place team in District 3. So McGinnis and Elk City will be the hosts of the two regionals coming out of District 3. So now Weatherford has a tougher road, and obviously road being the key word there, is they're not going to be able to host after being swept by the Elks.
Yeah.
So today, we'll figure out what's going on next week today. It's just going to be a three-team regional, because, as I said, they don't have District 2 doesn't have 8 teams.
Right.
So in District 4, the Elks will play the fourth-place team in District 4. At this point right now, as we speak, Bridge Creek and Purcell, who play today, are fighting for that spot. And they have identical district records. So, I'm not super good at the new math, but I would tell you they're both 7-6. They play today. So the winner comes out here to finish up fourth, and the loser would go wherever the fifth place team out of District 4 goes. Okay. And then in District 1, the fifth place team comes. Right now, you have Bing at 6-6. McLeod is done at 7-7. Ada's 5-7. Bing and Ada will play today and tomorrow. So I would say any of those three teams, McLeod, Bing, or Ada, is still possible to come here, right?
Yeah.
If Ada sweeps Bing, they would finish 7-7, tied with McLeod. Let's see what happened there. McLeod won both. So McLeod ain't coming. Yeah, they are. Yeah, they could. If Bing sweeps Ada, Bing ends up 8-6, McLeod 7-7. So then McLeod would come. So there's a possibility, still a possibility, any of those three teams could make it out here. A Bing sweep would bring us McLeod. An Ada sweep would bring us Ada. And a Bing-Ada split would bring us Bing. That's how that appears to would work. Well, what McLeod and Bing do? They split. Yeah, well, let's get into the numbers at that point. But so anyway, it'll go a long ways into deciding. I think that's... I didn't realize Bing could get ahead of Ada. I'm sorry. I didn't realize Bing could get ahead of McLeod with a sweep of Ada. So I'm going to go ahead and say, yeah, they would. I mean, because you start to wonder. I mean, I honestly wonder, like that game in class in District 4, Bridge Creek and Purcell. Now, I'm not sure where the other one would go, but do you, knowing what is here, do you think to yourself,
let's try to avoid that.
Yeah. I don't know. I really don't know. But that's kind of where that's at with the Elks in baseball. We had some high school baseball yesterday. A couple of different regionals got underway, one in Canute, one in Hollis. A little bit of a surprise in my mind down in Hollis. Cheyenne Raiden defeated Snyder 4-3. Hollis beat Snyder 15-3, but then Cheyenne Raiden knocked off Hollis 7-2. And so now today, those two teams will play. Hollis has to win twice. And Cheyenne Raiden is in the catbird seat there to move on to the regional tournament next week. So the Bears just have to win one of two against Hollis today down in Hollis. And then over at Canute, Canute beat Sealing 11-0. They beat Burns Flat Dill City 11-3. I couldn't find – I'm sure you know Sealing Burns Flat. Who won that game?
I don't.
Who's Canute play today? Do you know?
I
couldn't find any scores. I couldn't find game changers for either one of them. I couldn't find scores for either one of them. I do know that Canute will have to win one game today.
Right.
That's what I do know to move on to the regional tournament. Hammond, they finished their regional – or their district, excuse me, in one day. Yesterday, they beat Beaver 21-0. They beat Forgan 15-0, and then they turned around and beat Forgan 20-1. So the Warriors are into the regional tournament. Got a bunch of stuff going on today, as far as baseball goes. Rappo Butler will play Ringwood and O'Keen. You've got the Moreland Fargo Gage Fort Supply and Shattuck District. Cordell plays Carnegie and Bingeroni. Leedy and Eric is just a two teamer. Mountain View dropped out. So they'll play best two out of three series, essentially, there, Leedy and Eric. And Sentinel is there. There's all kinds of baseball going on today, district-wise, in Class A and Class B. Surprise on the Cheyenne beating Hollis?
Yes and no. Cheyenne will fight. But that's a good win. But it was on the road down at Hollis, right?
Yeah.
And Hollis played a lot of baseball. They're the ones that played a lot of baseball.
27-5.
Yeah. You know, there's a theory that we're kind of implementing at our level is you don't want to burn out too early. You don't want to peak too early. And I wonder if some of that has happened in Hollis playing, you know, because we noticed that they played almost, 10 games before March.
Yeah, they came into the playoffs on a 6-game winning streak and they'd won 10 of 11.
Yeah.
I mean, that.
So, I don't know.
Seemed like they were rolling.
Yeah. No, but then there's Cheyenne. I mean, sometimes, you know, there are teams where they, it's a good program. So some of it surprised me, some of it doesn't. But good for them. Good for the Bears.
Here we go. Canute Sealing. So Sealing beat Burns Flat Dill City.
I almost wanted to say that, but wanted to see it first.
So the game won at 11. Canute wins. It's over. And they move on to regionals. If not, there'll be an if game.
It's going to be an interesting game with the wind the way it is,
you know,
today.
Scott Texas on the text line, 225-9698. He's going to be at Canute in an official capacity. But with the slow pitch and the way that wind is blowing, really interesting.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Really
yes.
Interesting how difficult that might be. You know, it's not often – maybe it is. I don't know about slow pitch softball. It seems like they all throw it up there and you hit it or you don't. And the hitters control more of it than the pitcher, in my mind. Mm-hmm. Can you be patient enough to get a pitch that you can actually hit instead of pop up, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
But today, with the way the wind's going, I think a pitcher could have a lot more success with moving the ball around, mm-hmm. as crazy as the wind is going. So
yeah, it's a little crazy. I mean, yesterday was perfect for any sport outside, and talking to some coaches last night, said kind of wish we were playing today. Kind of wish we got this done today.
Some of them did. Some of them were afraid of the rain on Saturday for good reason. It looks like it's going to rain on Saturday. You know, Leedy played on Tuesday in slow pitch. They beat Beaver twice. Cheyenne Raiden yesterday. No. That might have been Tuesday as well. As they beat Burns Flat 15-2 or 14-2, beat Pioneer 13-3. Burns Flat beat Pioneer 9-8. Then they beat Burns Flat again 12-2 to move on to regionals. So, yeah, they kind of got ahead of it a little bit. And I think most baseball will be done. Most of any of this will be done Friday.
I believe so.
I think about everything will be done Friday to not have to worry about, you know, missing Saturday. And then all of a sudden you're trying to finish the thing up on Monday. And then head into the regional tournament starting Thursday. So that, especially on the baseball side, it makes a ton of sense to be done Friday. That way you don't have to worry about any type of postponements and not being able to set up your staff the way that you want to have it
right.
set up.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm dreading Saturday for what we got to do.
Here?
Yeah, we're here.
Oh, tough break there because you're not going to quit unless it lightnings.
Yeah, I was online the other day looking for gloves just because of the rain and temperatures. And my wife said, if the girls can't wear gloves, you can't wear gloves.
The good news I see.
And I
ouch.
And I actually dropped the, well, I'm a man. I'm 40. Yeah. I can wear whatever I want
to
wear.
Yeah, it turns out I can wear gloves if I want to.
Yeah.
The good news, well, it still says possibly a thunderstorm.
And it looks like straight wind, rain, and cold.
That's what I see.
Miserable.
May not have much of a chance of playing baseball down in Altus on Saturday. We'll see.
Not ideal.
We'll see with the little Elks, little junior high Elks. No, but it's a fun time, obviously. There's a ton of teams out here within our listening area that have chances to not only win districts, but also move on after next week into state tournaments and have a chance to, was it last year that there was three slow pitch runners up? Is Hammond a runner up?
I think Hammond played for one.
Thought there was three that played for it.
Great question.
I have to go back and look at the brackets. I was thinking there was three different chances at state titles, and unfortunately, everybody got beat in the finals.
I think that's right.
If I remember that right.
Canute was one.
Canute was one, yeah. I was about to say Canute was definitely
Canute was one. I believe Hammond was another. And there might have been a team that's outside of the Paragon Network. I cannot remember who. Lakima, maybe? I don't know.
I'll look it up. It was Leedy and Whitesboro. And it was the other team in the finals last year. So Hammond, Leedy, and Canute all played slow pitch state title games, and unfortunately all came back with silver balls. Appreciate Steven with the memory. You know, sometimes you
– it unfortunate, though?
Sometimes you sometimes you figure out how guys win certain contests.
Yeah.
When with that steel trap of a mind to remember the slow pitch state final from a year ago. You can see how he knew.
There was no prize involved there, Steven. Sorry. No prize there.
He's still eating all that beef he won from the basketball contest. Speaking of eating, today is a great eating day at the Boomtown Grill. 50-cent boneless wing day. I think there's people that just live their life throughout Friday through Thursday waiting for wing day again. I could possibly be one of them. I love Boomtown Wing Day. I've gone down there like three times in the last month and a half.
On Thursday?
Yes. There just happened to be either a Wyatt baseball game or maybe we're watching the Big Elks play baseball. Okay. You leave, you know, it's 7:30. If you don't have anything laid out for supper, you don't have any anything left over from like the night before or what have you, it is so easy to just go, Boomtown? Yeah, let's go.
Yep.
And then you get there, and your seven-year-old that weighs – or your seven-year-old, your seventh grader that weighs about 102 decides he thinks he needs 15 wings, and you go, you know what? I don't care. They're 50 cents a piece. Have at them, buddy. Then you can take them home for lunch tomorrow. Boomtown Grill, open 7 days a week, 11 to 10 Sunday through Thursday, 11 to 11 Friday and Saturday, Monday through Friday, 2 to 6, happy hours with appetizer plates and drink specials, 12 big screen TVs, perfect spot for the NBA playoffs, Thunder. I mean, is there a better place to get thundered up than the Boomtown Grill?
I can't think of one.
11 beers on tap, 30 bottles and cans.
I mean, I would say my garage, but I don't have 11 beers on tap.
And you don't have 12 big screen TVs
I
either,
I do
Jared.
Not. I got
and
one.
And you certainly don't have 50-cent boneless wing day on Thursday.
That's right.
And if you do, I'm pretty upset that you haven't invited me over for it.
It's true, yeah.
There's all kinds of different wing choices sauce-wise. Mild chipotle, sriracha, garlic parmesan, my favorite mango habanero, hot barbecue, kicking bourbon, and sweet red chili. The Boomtown Grill, 2103 South Main, right here in Elk City. Another great, you know, I mean, we'll just keep it going. A week from tonight, what better place to watch the first round of the NFL draft than Boomtown and munch down a few of those 50-cent wings, right?
Try.
Perfect place for the NFL draft that starts a week from tonight in Detroit. As always, quarterbacks start to get the buzz as we near the draft. Teams will vastly overpay for one because it's so important to have one. It's almost impossible to win if you don't have some semblance of a franchise quarterback. And once again, this year, there's the teams at the top of the draft that don't have franchise quarterbacks that are going to draft one. And then there's some teams that maybe have one that might be willing to do some wheeling and dealing. And I'm looking at you, Arizona Cardinals, with the fourth pick in this draft. So I think almost every single mock you're going to look at between now and next Thursday will have Caleb Williams going number one. Drake May and Jaden Daniels have kind of flip-flopped back and forth throughout the process. I think it started May, then it made it to Daniels, then it went back to May. I think right now it feels like Daniels is starting to gain the most traction to go second overall to the Commanders. May then would be left for the Patriots, and they obviously need a quarterback. I think this draft starts at number four, and it goes hand in hand with this question. How many quarterbacks are going to go in the first five picks?
Well, let's go. I mean, you named a lot of them. The first five picks. I'm trying to toe the line and say maybe three.
Well, there's definitely going to be three. I don't think there's any doubt there's three.
Safe answer, three.
I don't think there's any doubt the first three are going to be quarterbacks. The question is, do you believe the hype of J.J. McCarthy and teams wanting to trade up for J.J. McCarthy?
Man, it's hard for me to drink that Kool-Aid.
It's sure out there.
Good facilitator on a great team, sure.
Well, you know who else is that? Right now in the NFL? Brock Purdy.
Oh, that's a good point. Okay, that's a great point.
Uh-huh.
But he was the last pick in the draft that went to a really, really good team.
Okay.
Is there a really, really good team where he can do what Brock Purdy's doing in the top five, top three?
No, it would require a trade.
Okay.
But I do think there is one. And maybe this team is linked to him because of what they have. And maybe the Brock Purdy effect is part of this. But I think there's a possibility that there's a team out there in the top 15 that might have the greatest situation of all time to step into as a rookie quarterback. the Minnesota Vikings.
Okay. And they have?
They have Justin Jefferson.
Well, what were they at in the draft?
11.
So they clearly have to trade up.
They would have to trade up. What, maybe. If you believe the hype, maybe they have to trade up. I wonder Arizona? I wonder if Arizona is the one creating all this J.J. McCarthy hype to try to get the best price. Because I've seen three or four different teams in these mock drafts trading up for them. I've seen it be the Giants at 6, which I think if you're Arizona would be what you're trying to create. Reason being, if you just fall from 4 to 6, you're still going to get what I think you need, and that is one of those top 2 or 3 receivers. Mm-hmm. You may not get Marvin. He may go 5 to the Chargers. But at 6, you can get Roma Dunze. You can get Malik Nabers from LSU. Those are still options at 6. If you go all the way down to 11 with the Vikings, then I don't know. Then you may not be able to – if you're Arizona, maybe you're not able to get one of those top what most people think are the 3 best receivers in this draft. And then, of course, you've seen Denver. Denver's needing – I mean, but the problem is for Denver, what the heck are they going to trade? They've already traded it. they have a hard time having enough ammo, whereas the Vikings do. The Vikings have all kinds of draft capital that they've created. The question is, do they risk some of it? Or do they roll the dice and think McCarthy is really going to be there at 11 anyhow? And if that's who they want, then that still works there.
Those two picks up before them, and we're assuming, obviously, Williams, Daniels, May.
Our top three.
Our top three, and they're off the board. What I'm saying is the teams between that and 11, there's not really a need for – am I missing something? There's not really a need for a quarterback. They don't need a quarterback.
Giants.
I think they're committed to Jones.
They paid him. I don't know if they're committed. Tennessee. I mean, they just took Levis a year ago. Obviously, the Falcons are taking off the quarterback market more than likely at 8 because of what they got with Cousins. The Bears will have already drafted Caleb. The Jets. You would think that they'd be more in win now mode than draft Rodgers replacement mode. So, yeah. I mean, outside of somebody trading up, if you're the Vikings and you really like McCarthy, you probably sweat at 6 and maybe even a little bit at 7, depending on what Tennessee really thinks of Levis. But other than that, if it gets to 8... all you're hoping you don't hear is there has been a trade.
Yeah.
But at that point, here's the thing, though. If it gets past 7 and gets to number 8 in the Falcons, what it cost you at that point to move from 11 to 8 is, first off, way less than to get up to 4. And you can still get him. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe that's the thought. But I sure think if you're J.J. McCarthy right now and the hype and the buzz that's surrounding you, I think you're getting on your knees before you go to bed every single night and praying to the good Lord that you end up in Minnesota with the weapons that Minnesota has all across the board. A good offensive line, the guys at receiver. Hawkinson's there, right? He went from Detroit to Minnesota, the tight end.
I believe so.
That's the way it wasn't Minnesota to Detroit. It was Detroit to Minnesota. I'm trying to – that always kind of fools me in my mind. But, yeah, I mean, that's – you usually don't get a chance if you're one of those first-round quarterbacks. It's a rarity that you get to step into a job like he would be stepping into. There, yeah, Hawkinson's a tight end. And so, yeah, you're talking about Hawkinson, Jordan Addison, Justin Jefferson. Man. And a really good offensive line.
I know not everything's a conspiracy, but how much control does Harbaugh have when he took that job with the Chargers?
I have no idea.
Did they give him a lot of control?
We'll find out.
Because how funny would it be if he kind of orchestrates this to say, I'm going to help out my college quarterback. He's going to become a top five pick because
that's a possibility.
Of what I do here.
If Arizona says, you know what? No. We don't need to trade. We're taking – we think Marvin Harrison Jr. is Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
We're taking him, and I don't care what you offer me. Yeah, then it gets interesting at five. Because, I mean, the Chargers, well, Harbaugh is the only reason anybody would even consider that they would take J.J. McCarthy instead of they've already got in Herbert.
It's not happening.
It's not. He's not an idiot, I don't think.
Well.
At least when it comes.
A little eccentric. And
by the way, did you remember that Aaron Jones went to Minnesota, running back from Green Bay? He's there, too. That is a hell of an offense.
I totally forgot that.
That just needs, I'm telling you, if you're McCarthy, you're going, please let me go to Minnesota. Because then he can almost play like he did. Hand it off, throw it to Weapon.
Right,
and like I said, the offensive line is good there, too. Okay, with all the J.J. McCarthy hype. So we think he's going in the first round for sure. Maybe not the top five, but the first round. So that's four quarterbacks in the first round. How many overall do you think end up being first-round quarterbacks?
Let's count it out loud. Williams, Daniels, McCarthy, May. And I'm not even going to look at mock drafts. I'm going to try to just stop my head. And there's four. Do we think Penix is a first-round guy? There's a lot of question about his health and his – was that two knee surgeries?
There's two more possibilities. He's one.
That's a possibility. But you know what name I've even heard? It was Rattler. Not as a first-round guy, but as a draftable guy, maybe second or third round.
I saw a deal yesterday that one of the people that do mock draft thinks he's going to be the steal of the entire draft.
Huh.
Which is crazy to think about.
I see it to believe it. I'll say five. I think someone does take Penix, but
the only other guy that's really in a conversation to go in the first round is Penix. Outside those top four that are pretty well guaranteed, Penix and Bo Nix.
Oh, I failed to remember Bo Nix.
Which I'm looking here at Daniel Jeremiah. Is that who this is? No, that's Peter Schrager on NFL.com. He has Bo Nix at 23 to the Vikings. Once again, Bo Nix be praying that that happens. So he has Nix in the top four. He does not have Penix. I think five is a pretty good – I think five is probably the number. And one team either loves Nix or loves Penix toward the end of the first round and takes them. And then I wouldn't be shocked at all that on Friday, sometime early Friday, if we don't hear so-and-so has traded with the Carolina Panthers for the first pick in the second round to take the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't shock me at all if six of the first 33 were quarterbacks. Now, question.
Do you know what the record is for most quarterbacks taken in the first round?
Seven. I don't know. I'm guessing.
Six.
Is it six?
It's six. 1983.
Oh, that was the
Wait. Yes, 83.
Oh, yeah. That's Dan Marino.
That's a famous draft. Yeah.
Can you name those guys?
No. It was
Elway.
Elway, Marino.
Jim Kelly. Todd Blackledge, who's obviously known for something besides being a first-round pick now as an analyst for ESPN. Let's see. It was the guy from the Patriots. And Ken O'Brien.
If that's right, I'm impressed.
Well, look it up.
I am.
Was it Grogan? Was it Steve
First
Grogan?
First pick was John Elway.
John Elway.
We got Elway, Todd Blackledge, Jim Kelly,
Ken O'Brien,
Dan Marino.
Uh-huh. I think it was the Patriot.
Did I count? One, two. Ken O'Brien. One, two, Tony Eason.
Not Steve Grogan. Tony Eason.
In fact, Eason went 15.
Dan Marino's the last pick, wasn't he?
Second to last pick in the first round.
There's actually an awesome 30 for 30 about this.
I vaguely remember that. That's what kind of sparked my memory. Yeah. I had to Google up
the agent. The number. The agent for both Dan and John Elway. And he goes through his little notebook. It's pretty cool if you've never seen that one. All right. Yeah, I think 5 is a pretty good number. I just don't know if both Knicks and Penix end up in the first round. What are the Cowboys going to do with that first round pick?
You know, we talked about this when you were gone. And the lack of movement in free agency. I mean, they've been in hibernation mode, the Cowboys, that is. So I wonder if they're waiting to make some kind of a splash next Thursday. Either making some trades of some, you know, some players to get up. I don't know. But it makes me wonder if they do that. But realistically, I think they are conservative enough. They've been really good in the draft, in my opinion, getting needs more than once.
Yeah, see, I disagree 100% on that. I think they've been really good at the draft when they've taken the best player that was there. Mm-hmm. When they've messed up is when they started reaching for guys that they think they need. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
When they've taken just the best guy, they've hit almost every time. No, you think back.
That's what I meant. When they take the
best player available instead of a need position.
Yeah.
They've been great. I mean, think about when they had Amari Cooper, CD drops in their lap, and they take him because he's the best player on their board when people thought, oh, you need an edge rusher or a corner. Well, what happened in round 3 that same year? They took Trayvon Diggs. But they, you know what I'm saying? That's if they'll just stick to their board. They've been awesome evaluating it. Awesome. But when they've screwed up is when, okay, we need a defensive end instead of the best player. We'll take Taco Charlton. Well, he was terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's too early to say the same thing about Mozzie Smith. But even last year, there was a lot of different ways that could have gone. And the run stuffer because of what happened against the 49ers and hell, it happened again against Green Bay in the playoffs. Not being able to stand up to the run. Let's get the big, giant defensive nose tackle. And you never saw him. But when they've got Tyler Smith from Tulsa as the best player, even though he's a guard and it's not a splashy pick, when they pick him, now he's an all-pro. You know, and they've really done well. If they'll just stick to their board and figure out the other stuff later. Just pick the best player they think is out there.
I've seen more than one mock draft going for Guyton to Dallas.
Have you really? That's kind of a need.
I've seen others from other publications, and even Kuiper's last 2 or 3 that he's done, he's still putting Tyler Guyton right there going to Dallas. Again, a need. You're right.
Yeah, that's a need and a maybe best player all at the same time.
Yep.
Offensive line, defensive tackle.
Here's the question: is a third wide receiver in need or one?
This has Xavier Worthy
because Worthy is hanging around there, mm-hmm. and so if it comes down to deciding between Worthy and Guyton, which way do you think Dallas could go?
Well,
because I figured if they needed a third wide receiver, they would have found one in free agency.
It depends on how much they really like Jalen Tolbert as the third, the guy they drafted a couple years ago.
Yeah.
How much do they like him? I would go offensive line.
Uh-huh.
Or you never take a running back in the first round. I've actually seen Jonathan Brooks from Texas mocked to Dallas. God, I hope that's not right. I just think that whoever's the next 2 or 3 best running backs you can get in the third round. This one does not have a running back going in the first round. There's a bunch of receivers, though, in the 20s. And so if that's Dallas's idea, at least in this mock draft, you got your choice of Worthy, Adonai Mitchell, also from Texas, Ladd McConkey, who is the guy from Georgia, and then Jalen Polk from Washington are kind of the options there as far as a receiver. And like you said, Guyton's already gone in this one as far as offensive lineman. You know, Amarius Mims is the next pick after Dallas, and he's an offensive tackle from Georgia. So there's going to be – I think those defensive tackle guys are probably either gone or you're reaching. And so I think you're looking receiver or offensive line, depending on how everything falls and shakes out for Dallas.
Yep.
Does OU's streak of 16 straight years with four draftees end – this season? Here's why I ask. They only had three guys sent to the combine, and they were all offensive linemen: Guyton, Walter Rouse, and Andrew Rame. So if you go to the combine, you figure that's probably a draftable player. So if we give those three guys as draftees, do the Sooners end up with somebody else getting picked along the way and continue the nation-long streak into 17 years of four draftees?
I firmly say yes.
Who?
Stoops. Late, really? late rounds. It makes up for a good story. But I think he the respect for him.
It's interesting. I didn't even consider him.
I think it carries over. I think listen, let's get Bob's son. Look what he's done. He's a workhorse. Let's give him a shot. He could turn into a Wes Welker or not. I you're going to see he's going to get drafted like on a Saturday afternoon, and they're going to run the piece
cue
on
the
him,
tape,
cue
yeah.
the tape.
I can see that.
I don't know if it's tampering or not, but, you know, Stoops making some calls. Hey, listen.
Yeah.
Let's do this. Let's make this happen.
I would.
I don't know if he'd never, do it. He's not a guy that strikes me that would try to call in favors, but
he's never really been the helicopter
but he
dad.
Could answer the phone.
Yep.
Hey Bob, hey, what do you think your boy coming over here to the Chargers?
I would look at Jonah, however you say his last name. Lualu.
Sounds good to me.
He was a defensive guy. He measured really well in the pro day. Really well. And he's played inside, outside at OU. Versatile. I'd say if there is four, it would be him. But for the first time in a while, there's a chance where Oklahoma doesn't get four guys drafted. All right, give me a player.
What's crazy is that a knock on the program, or is that because
bunch
of
guys
like
came,
Stutzman
well, a
stayed,
bunch of guys came back.
They came back.
That's right.
Yeah.
Him, Bowman.
Right.
Those guys were getting drafted, and they decided to come back. I mean, next year could be a bunch of draftable players for Oklahoma. Problem is, with the league they're going to, that needs to be every year. Not just kind of hit or miss years.
Right.
All right, give me a player in the first round. One player, no matter what pick in the first round, who you would like to see end up somewhere where you think it's just like a perfect fit for this guy on this team.
Well, I just mentioned him. And in this mock, I love it. If trades happen. But Xavier Worthy at the Chargers would be awesome. Because I love the quarterback combo there.
That's so funny because I have the same guy, just a different team.
Okay. Who do you got him going to?
Xavier Worthy at Kansas City would be awesome.
Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me?
Awesome.
I'd just stop watching NFL altogether if that happened. We already know who the three-peat champ's going to be.
I don't know if it would work, but it just seems like, okay, let's try another fast guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the one that this has that it makes a ton of sense is McConkey, Ladd McConkey to San Francisco. Because of their concepts, I think he would be open all the time. I really do.
Yeah.
At San Francisco. That seems like a match made in heaven. I will say this. Barring trades, I think there are two picks that everybody has. Well, Caleb obviously is one of them as well. But no matter what, I think the 7th and 8th picks, everyone has. On every mock draft you see, 7 is Tennessee drafting Notre Dame offensive tackle Joe Alt. And at 8, Atlanta drafting Alabama edge rusher Dallas Turner. I mean, those are almost universal across the mock draft world, if you're kind of wondering. And then you see different guys sprinkled in with, like, you know, Brock Bowers. I've seen him all the way down to, like, 23, and I've seen him all the way up to, like, 5.
I pray to the football gods he goes somewhere that has a decent quarterback. What are the Broncos going to do at quarterback?
I don't know if they can right now. They would be a possible spot for Penix or Nix, or even if McCarthy falls.
I kind of thought about him, them and McCarthy.
But they'd have to. I mean, I think they're probably hoping nobody does anything crazy and they can get McCarthy at 12. Problem is, I don't think he gets past Minnesota at all. Right above him.
Yeah.
And then at that point, is that too high for Penix or Bo Nix? Probably so at 12. So then they kind of try to figure it out later. It's good stuff. I mean, the draft is so much fun. I'll tell you what I'm praying for. Not that they go, not that Brock Bowers goes somewhere with a decent quarterback. I pray that something happens between now and the draft that makes him start to fall, because you know how good Brock Bowers would look with a star on his helmet.
Oh, my goodness.
Wrapping up a Thursday with a little NBA playoffs. Eastern Conference play-in games last night. The Sixers come back from a huge deficit to beat the Miami Heat 105-104. So Philly will now face the Knicks. Miami will play Chicago tomorrow. The winner of that one will play in the first round against Boston. Miami, huge injury news this morning. With Jimmy Butler, an MCL injury of some sort. Looks like he's going to miss a few weeks, so that obviously means he's not going to be there on Friday against Chicago. I don't know that it would have mattered anyhow, although we probably sat here and said that last year with Miami, as they were going to have to win the last play-in game, then have to face the vaunted Milwaukee Bucks as the 8 versus the 1, and then I'll be darned if they didn't not only beat them, but make a run to the finals. But with the dominance that Boston has displayed throughout the season in the Eastern Conference, this really feels like, at least in the East, kind of the sacrificial lamb is going to be, you know, raised up to the Celtics in round one.
Yeah, Boston's been so good all season long. Although I've heard rumblings of everyone just kind of, yeah, they've done it in the past. They've built really good teams, have great regular seasons, and then kind of flame out in the playoffs. But I don't know if that's this case this year. They've been the best team all season long. It
feels like. And their flame outs have been like Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, right, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah.
And maybe not living up to the entire expectations.
Certainly not the first round.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I that game last night was huge in a lot of ways. One, you know, the Knicks have been good. There's no doubt about it. But if you had your choice, you take playing the Knicks versus playing the Celtics all day long, which was the reverse of the West, because that game last night to win was the way people thought you should go, whereas the night before with L.A. and the Pels, a lot of people thought you should lose to avoid Denver and figure out a way to get Oklahoma City. Do you think Philly has a chance against New York?
You know, with Embiid, absolutely.
I do too. We can make our picks tomorrow for, like, conference finals, and then, because I don't think either one of us is going to pick either Miami or Chicago to go to the finals, and I don't think anybody's going to pick the Kings or the Pels to go to the conference finals, no matter what happens on Friday. So I think we'll be safe enough to pick, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to have a hard time not putting Philly in the Eastern Conference Finals. Because you're talking Knicks, Bucks, and Pacers. Man, it feels like with Embiid, Philly's the most dangerous out of that four to me, with Embiid.
Yeah.
And Embiid being healthy. It was last night Trae Young's last game in a Hawks uniform.
lot of talk that it is. I don't. I think they're both going to mutually agree that they want to move on.
Okay, so where does he fit? I've got the perfect spot for Trae Young.
Where?
The perfect spot for Trae Young. And it's the worst spot imaginable if you're a Thunder fan.
Dallas.
San Antonio.
Oh, wow, yeah.
San Antonio, him running pick and roll with Victor. And here's the thing about him going to San Antonio. It accentuates all of his positives, which is the offensive end, and opens up with Victor. I mean, the floor would be so much more open for him. And guess what? It doesn't matter he can't cover anybody because Victor will just swat their shot. You know what I'm saying? He can almost rest on the defensive end. Okay, yeah, hey, whoever I'm guarding, get right here to the free throw line or below and just watch it smack off your face with Wembanyama behind him. Like, to me, that's the perfect spot for Trae Young would be down in San Antonio just because of Victor's defensive prowess. It's plumb scary how good he can be on the defensive end. And then offensively, I mean, can you not just see Lob City 2.0 down on the Riverwalk with those two? With Trae's ability to get to the rim and just throwing it up at the top of the backboard and watching Wembanyama slam it down? That's a scary thought if I'm a Thunder fan.
It's scary as a Thunder fan, but kind of exciting as just a fan, you know, just to see what that would look like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a So, if I'm Trae and I'm looking around at situations, that one really, really intrigues me.
I'm not suggesting that I would love this, but I would not be shocked if Golden State takes a flyer on him.
Yeah, it's two little guys. Speaking of Golden State, and we talked yesterday about kind of the breakup.
This would really please the fans if we get another shooter in here.
Yeah, it looks like, and you know, another team that's kind of there with the Thunder, but early leans, I guess, maybe. I don't know if this is hearing or just trying to place people where they think they fit. But Klay Thompson to Dallas has got a little buzz, which that makes sense to me. Of sense to me as the upgrade over Tim Hardaway Jr. type guy, you know?
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense to me.
And then, of course, everyone's going to say, well, why not the Thunder? Because he's from Oklahoma.
Oh, Trae?
It doesn't fit. No. He does own a home in Norman still.
And he built that giant deal down there.
Yeah. So there's always going to be that tie there, but
not happening.
It's not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen. That just doesn't make any sense. There was a time where it did.
There was, exactly. There was a time, but right now wouldn't work. I mean, it would sell tickets, but it wouldn't work.
Oh, breaking news.
What you got?
Oklahoma City Thunder MVP candidate Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has agreed on a new lucrative multi-year contract extension with Converse.
Oh, wow.
His first signature shoe releasing in 2025 and title of Creative Director of Converse Basketball. There you go.
Has that ever been done?
I don't know.
Not only do you get a shoe deal,
you get to design other shoes.
Huh.
So that's breaking news out of Oklahoma City with Shai.
Cool.
Injuries already a big part of the playoffs. Unfortunately, mentioned Jimmy Butler with that MCL. Also, it was announced yesterday, Zion out with a hammy on Friday. It said reevaluated in a couple of weeks. So even if New Orleans wins on Friday, there's probably a pretty minute chance that Zion plays against Oklahoma City. That sure seems like maybe if the Pelicans were able to make a run into the second round – That would be where Zion would be a possibility of joining that series. So, you know, this happens, it seems like, every single year. And then the cries of too many games in the regular season, even though a bunch of them take 10 or 15 off.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just kind of the nature of the beast. I don't know how you fix it. I think it speaks more to the increase in intensity of a playoff game versus just a regular season game, where people are going faster, bumping into each other harder, and that creating little stuff. And also, it's magnified when somebody misses four or five games of a seven game series instead of four or five games of a regular season run. Yeah.
So, with all that being said, are is that who we want? Pelicans?
Man,
I know we talked before that news broke yesterday of who do we want as Thunder fans, and at least listening yesterday when the news broke was, wouldn't you? I mean, they're clearly going to be favorites over the Kings and or Pelicans, whoever the matchup may be, but because of the Zion injury, might be an easier road to get to the second round. By the time he comes back, it could already be 3-0.
Yeah, I don't know. Pelicans scare me more than the Kings for some reason, but the Kings just don't seem very reliable to me. You know, even during the game against Golden State, that stat was out there. They led the league in giving up 20-point leads and losing games. I think they did it five times throughout the course of the season. So, they can shoot you. They can shoot you out of it, and they can shoot you right back in it, King-wise. But I think probably the majority of folks would side with what you said about a Zion-less Pelicans being a easier matchup than what we see with the Kings, even though the Kings are missing Herter and Malik Monk, who might be the sixth man of the year this season, and neither one of those guys would be available in the first round. So I think that's probably conventional wisdom would tell you Pelly's without Zion. So we'll find out tomorrow.
Yeah.
Don't forget 50 Cent Boneless Wing Day today at Boomtown Grill, 2103 South Main in Elk City. So enjoy that. Watch a little baseball. We start talking some baseball at some point.
Yeah. I mean, it's April, but
I know both in-state schools were top 16 seeds in the first release of the baseball playoffs. Anyhow, have a great day.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to